You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at WeAreLibertarians.com.
Hog of Liberty podcast. This is episode number 228 of East Andronia's favorite podcast. Jeremiah Morrill here today, joined by my forever co-host Dakota Davis and producer slash video producer slash guest host slash racing analyst slash therapist Zach Bertram. Welcome everybody.
Therapist.
Today's episode features the three of us, and this is a show that was prepared by Jeremiah Morrill. So today we're going to be talking about sports and daylight savings time, two of his favorite topics.
Hey, listen,
especially that racing sports.
First of all, we put this show together in about 8 hours, and if you look at the group chat, it is very one sided. Didn't really get a lot of feedback.
I've been really busy this week.
I drove for 4 hours today, and I puked once during the workday, and yet I'm magically here. You've got 9 good fingers and one that's 6 times normal size. We discovered that during Patreon.
Yeah. So up until today, I was going through the week with this show. We had a guest, possibly two planned, and I knew that it was going to be a show where I didn't know anything.
You were
going to
do a lot of heavy lifting.
I didn't do anything, and I was basically just going to sit here. I knew that that was going to be the case, so it was just like, whatever. I did think about it yesterday. I'm like, it is strange for Jeremiah to not have set up a group chat yet the day before, and then you set up the group chat, and he's like, oh, okay. And then we found out that our guest wasn't going to be able to make it. He had something way more important than this, like legitimately way more important than this to do.
He'll be here next week.
And he was rescheduled, and that's fine, whatever. And then it was like, well, now what are we going to talk about? But Audrey had to go get groceries after I got home from work. So that was a little bit of a tight. I'm like, I don't have any time to work on show notes whenever I'm hanging out with Jackson, because now the weather's been nice and we've been, you know, doing stuff in the yard and things. And is now for the past week, whenever I get home from work, Jackson just like brings me his shoes and just assumes it's time to go outside and do stuff.
Well, we're going to talk about it in a little while. Government's going to kill that shortly. Next week, that won't happen.
No, not for
me. It's over.
Just for you.
It's going to be dead.
There's still those of us that get home around 3 o'clock every day.
This show is about our lives in rural Indiana. We're here to push your boundaries and make you think as individuals. Sometimes we'll provoke you. Other times we'll make you laugh, but you'll always learn. We hope you'll always learn something new. We just did 21 minutes of fantastic Patreon radio.
That's right.
It's in the can. It'll be in the feed shortly.
Patreon.com/BossHogOfLiberty or just BossHogOfLiberty.com. That's where you can go to support the show every month. We give you all kinds of different bonus stuff. We give you an extra episode every week before we record the free episode. We give you show notes before the show that has all of the links that we reference throughout the program tonight. And we also occasionally send you goodies. You get access to a Facebook group where Anthony Meyer posts some fire and dank memes. And if you donate at $50 or more a month, then we give you a shout out at the front of every episode. Those folks are Christy Avery, Jonathan Phillips, Anthony Meyer, and Fiddler's Green Cigar Company. Thank you to those folks. And then we also have merchandise, tchip.com/BHO1234 or mug.
We need to update one of those shirts. It's got some old names on it. You were giving Christy some hell today over having a mug with old cast members.
No, I was giving, that was Andrew.
Oh, that was Andrew.
Yeah.
See how much Andrew. I pay attention.
Yep.
I was on the struggle bus all day today. Me and Mr. Migraine have been battling.
Yeah, that was Andrew. Andrew has a like porcelain mug that a while ago we sent stickers of all of our faces
yes.
to the Patreon members that were like cartoonified. And Andrew had taken those and put those on a porcelain mug. And I'm like, hey, man, you own two other cups that my wife makes now. They own two. She also makes like mugs, like
steins.
And you know, here's a little secret. She's in the process of switching suppliers. So her prices may go down a tad bit, like slightly. It's not that much cheaper.
Is there an everything must go liquidation sale on the old crap?
Of course.
She's always product code Boss Hog.
With the new supplier, the biggest reason that she went to them, the price was only like a few cents cheaper. But anyway, I'm not going to stick on the prices. It was
She should just absorb that. That's future inflation to take into account.
It could be. But, you know.
Never apologize for profits. She works hard. Never apologize.
But one of the biggest reasons was like some of the cup sizes are more friendly. Like these, like that won't fit in your cup holder.
This will fit in my cup holder.
Oh, it does?
Oh, yeah.
Well, some of them, they don't fit.
This fits in the cup holder in the Terrain. This fits in the Tahoe cup holder.
Wow.
This goes everywhere. It's got a nice thinned out. It's about like a big McDonald's styrofoam cup.
That's what it's for.
Yeah.
And then she's also got like taller mugs. So they're called camping mugs, and they're like a 24-ounce mug. It's like this big around, like a little bit bigger than a can, and it's got a handle on the side that makes it a mug. They're pretty cool. So
I can fit nearly a little over a half pot of coffee in this in the morning. It's great.
That's a big cup.
And then I top it off one more time at work, and you know.
I wonder if that's the same supplier that she had been using.
I don't know.
I don't know if she's
they take a
before.
Beating. It's hit the ground about 17 times. If you look at the bottom,
it's surprising that it's held up.
It's a daily cup, and it looks just fine.
One thing that my wife has done super well is spent hours of research into what like material she's going to use, because she's in these craft groups and things, and she follows this lady on Patreon that does tutorials and teaches you how to do the stuff. And she sees all the time people who like they have gotten cups returned to them because someone dropped it on the ground and then all the epoxy just shatters off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have dropped the cups that you've made me on concrete and asphalt. Like,
yeah, mine's taken
dozens of times.
This has taken many tumbles and it's done great. So, all right. Well, with that, I think there's a link in the chat, or if you jump on BossHoggLiberty.com for the T-Chip stores, all of the T-Chip stores, everything that's out there. Get yourself some merch. Support the show and show it off. It's hoodie season. Get yourself a hoodie. It's one of my favorite things we have is my long sleeve shirt. And I know I've seen a few of the gray hoodies running around as well.
Also, I want to point out at the beginning of the show, I'm not double fisting alcohol. One of these is coffee and the other one's a beer.
You need something.
It's just regular coffee.
You need something with vodka so you can dip your disgusting thumb in sanitizer.
I can't really extend it all the way, and the feeling in the tip's gone.
I'm going to go get my knife out of the car, and we're going to torch it.
Surgery.
And we're going to do a surgery right here on the show. I've done veterinary medicine before. We can save that thumb.
It's pretty painful.
So there's news.
There is news. Breaking news.
Boss Hog patron.
Yes.
Betsy Mills. Friend, very close friend of the show. She's going to be running to replace Tom Saunders. She's officially announced. We've kind of thought that might be coming, but it's official news. We've been talking about the new district. It's being redistricted. It's pretty much all of Henry County, less a township or two. Rush County, portions of Shelby and Hancock County. And big news release went out. It's in all the local papers, the Newcastle paper, the Rushville Republican, I think the Shelby News had it. And big old Yahoo.com picked it up. That's the link that we put in Patreon. So it's going to be exciting. We've heard, it sounds like she's running. Maybe there's another Republican or two. I think we know that Commissioner. Why is my brain broken?
Bobby Plummer.
All right, it's the migraine today, guys. I'm running on 70%. Commissioner Plummer is running, so got a couple ladies running for state rep. That's kind of cool. Haven't heard any names from the other counties as well, but it's going to be a big deal. Likely a Republican hold, so you know who wins the primary is very, very likely going to be the state rep in the race. But an exciting time. I tried to get Betsy on. I said, hey, you know, we want to have you on the show. I offered up the 18th and I offered up the 11th. And then 20 minutes later, I'm like, you know what? You can't have the 11th. I just took that away from you. I said, you can come tonight if you want to. And she's like, oh, I'm double booked. I said, that's going to be your life for a while, Betsy. You're going to be double booked. And it's just the way it's going to go. We'll have her on probably after the Thanksgiving holiday. We've got, the show is going to be dark for Thanksgiving. Obviously you guys don't want to be eating turkey and watching Boss Hog. You can just watch a replay. There's probably 7 or 8 episodes that have bitched about daylight saving time. So just pick any of your favorites of that.
Episode 200 is a highlight. Go back to 200.
Highlight, low light. It's something.
Yeah.
Reintroduce
yourself to Danny.
Yeah. Episode 200 is it's a landmark episode.
That's for sure. I'm excited for Betsy to run.
But the 18th, they have council. So they've got, once again, we don't want anybody skipping out on the county council meeting.
I'm excited for Betsy to run. I think that she would make a great state representative. I pitched in $50 to her campaign because I think that it's well deserved. I'm excited for her run, and I really genuinely hope that she not only wins the primary, but she actually gets the chance to go to the state house because I think she would actually do a really good job.
Oh, yeah, I think
she'd be great.
Betsy's great in any role she chooses. I've always been a big fan of her, and I think she'll, if she's successfully elected, I think she'll represent our area very well. Okay.
Daylight savings time. 19 states want to make it permanent, you said.
Yes.
And that means you want to be on the time we're on now.
Yes, on fast time all the time. 19 states have done this, Dakota, have said they don't have the authority to do it themselves. That's not the way it works.
Right.
But 19 states have requested or passed I guess you'd call it a resolution to say, hey, let's stick on this. USA Today story, Doug Rice is a NASCAR announcer. Hey, it wants me to subscribe to the website as I'm trying to roll through here. Just this year, 6 states have jumped in saying that they want to make daylight saving time the case all year long. 19 states, Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, Minnesota, Montana, Idaho, Louisiana, Ohio, South Carolina, Utah, Wyoming, Arkansas, Delaware, Maine, Oregon, Tennessee, Washington, Florida, and California all say we're tired of moving our clocks back and forth. Let's just stay on fast time all the time. The thing that drives me nuts is that people will complain about it on both ends, and they want it both ways. They live too far north. Because you say you have people complaining in the morning that there's not enough daylight and the kids are getting on the bus in the dark. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to complain that it's too dark in the evening too. And there's only so many hours. So you have to decide, mm-hmm. Are you going to jump your clocks? You're not going to jump your clocks. And if you're going to go on fast time, then that gets you more time in the evening. If you have it in the morning, then I guess.
I've always said it doesn't bother me that much because year round, I mean, I'm waking up. My alarm is set to go off at 4:20 every day. So it's going to be dark no matter what whenever I wake up. And I get home at like 10 after 3. So it's going to be light whenever I come home no matter what. And
yeah, but do you want 2 hours of daylight or 3 hours of daylight?
Because I wake up at 4:20, I turn in pretty early. You know, I try to turn on.
You're not going to bed at 5:15, Dakota.
No. And that's what I was going to say. It's like a mildly annoying thing, but it's not enough for me to like every year get riled up about like some other people I know. But whenever we had to move the clocks forward this year, that sucked with Jackson.
It stinks with kid. Because they're like, oh, you get an extra hour of sleep this weekend. Nobody with kids or dogs or anything. Yeah. Like they don't know and they don't care. The wintertime's rough. I am not a big fan of it in the summer. I'm not a big fan of trying to put my kid to bed and it's still daylight.
Yeah.
Like by a lot.
Yeah.
Like it's still like.
Like the sun's still like blasting.
Yes. You could like mow. You could be mowing your yard at 9 o'clock. Night. And I'm like, that's dumb.
Yeah.
And so.
So should they be reversed? Should fast time be in the fall through the winter and slow time be in the summer? I think that would work best.
It might. I just know in the summer, I think it's dumb with the wrong. We shouldn't be on the same time zone as the East Coast because we're not the East Coast. We're many hours from the East Coast. And their time zone makes sense for them. It gets dark in the summertime there at a reasonable hour. But the changing of the clock is I'm not a fan. It's just, you don't, and I was less of a fan. I wasn't a fan before, and then I had kids. I'm really not a fan. My kids are going to wake up at 6:15 on Sunday morning, and they're going to be ready to go.
Yeah, Jackson's going to wake up at like 5:30.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, they don't care.
Does it happen Sunday morning, or is it Monday morning?
Sunday morning. They can't do it on a Monday.
Yeah.
It's always been, there's always a race that's this weekend, and that's always remember, because in theory, I would get an extra hour of recovery, sleep, but no race this weekend, so...
The part that's going to be hilarious is the amnesia of everybody acting like they've never done this before. And I've looked. We've been doing this clock change since 2006.
I still don't like it.
17 years.
Still less than half my life.
Dakota was 6 years old when we started. This is, as far as Dakota's concerned, this has always happened. He was the little kid that was waking up at the weird time when we started doing this. Poor Jeff and Dawn had to train Dakota on.
I was not 6 years old in 2006. I was not born in the year 2000.
It's just easier to round up.
Okay. Yeah.
Dakota was 10.
Barely rounding.
Dakota was 10. It's the same thing. I learned in the second grade that a 6 and up goes to 10.
What grade would I have been in?
Third grade.
How many months? I graduated in 2014. Then.
What's 14 minus 6?
14 minus 6 is, I don't know. Is that 8? Yeah, that's 8.
Yeah.
Take 12 minus 8.
So 12 minus 8 is 4.
Third or fourth grade.
I was in fourth grade.
Third or fourth grade.
I was in fourth grade. We just did the math.
Okay. Well, I mean, it could be either way. Sure. Probably. But then
I was in Mr. Jeffrey's class then.
But no, here's your problem. You need to back it up. You need to back it up. Grade. You need to back it up.
It was before your birthday. Who knows? School age math is. I have to have a hard time.
You take
out the
year you graduated, but that's the year after we're talking about, because it would have been November of.
I can't remember any of that stuff except for marching band. I can reference what year I was during certain field shows. I know what year that field show was. That's how I base school years and age reference, because it's a little different for everybody. Because my group of friends, we've got one friend who will turn 40 in a couple of months. I just turned 39. And we have another friend who's still 37, and we all graduated together. And he won't turn 38, I think, until like April.
2006 was the year the Colts
won the Super Bowl.
That was their season.
Yeah.
They actually won it in 2007, but it was that was the year that was their run.
The big year. That.
So November of 2006, that would have been like right about now. Would have been when they got absolutely shellacked by the Jaguars, and they ran for like 250 yards against the team, and they finally figured it out and started. They got it turned around, went on to win. So we'll see. I don't know. It's just same old crap. I'm tired. I agree with everybody. I'm done changing the clocks, but I just want to be in fast time all the time and be done with it. And I'm glad that 19 other states are on board. Marco Rubio. I'm all of a sudden a huge Rubio supporter. He's all for it in Florida. He's leading the charge.
I think I'm sticking with my idea of reversing it. Being on fast.
One guy.
Fast time.
We're on
the
wrong
winter.
Time in the summer.
We fast are time in the winter, time. Slow time in the summer. That's how I want to be. I think that Zach had something. I think he was on to something.
We are on the wrong. You can't do drive-in movies here in the summertime, because the sun doesn't go down. You can't start the movie until like 10:30.
I think that was what killed our local drive-in movie.
I
think that was the problem. That was the ultimate. It's good for golf courses. Terrible, terrible for drive-in movies.
People were complaining, why isn't the drive-in movie? I was like, have you looked to see what the time sunset is?
Because it was like 1 in the morning when the second movie was over.
Yeah.
Well, like it was 1:30 in the morning.
Everything gets damp about midnight.
If that didn't kill him, then Brandon would have by now anyway, because no one could afford to drive there.
It was ours right outside of town. You could walk to ours.
He's just trying to move segwaying. The show along. Losing his thumb. It's atrophying as we're going along. Can I go get the knife and we cut that thing open?
I have a knife in my pocket.
Let's go. Let me have it.
No,
I'll finish my beer and we'll cut your thumb open.
I'm going to the doctor Monday.
He's gonna need a sick day Monday for surgery. It's gonna be too late. They're gonna take the whole. If we do it now, you might lose it above the knuckle. You wait till Monday. We're gonna lose it at the hand.
If I just put a rubber band around it this weekend.
Well, then you'll definitely lose it from the rubber band.
According to Jeremiah, it's either nub or no nub. Depends on how fast you act.
Do you want to be able to do fractions or just be down a digit? Dakota gives it a 9.5.
I already bench press with the suicide grip, so it's not like I need my thumb anyway.
All right. So daylight saving time, it's going to happen, which is one of the reasons why camping is officially dead for the year. That and it's 27 degrees in the morning.
Here's my question. Is it really daylight savings time if it's your permanent time zone? You're just changing your time zone.
We're just on fast time at that point.
Yeah. You're changing your time zone. There's no fast or slow. It's just time.
Right. Permanent daylight savings.
Is that getting all philosophical?
I mean, there's literally, if you don't ever change your clock,
no fast or slow. There's only time.
You're just changing your time zone.
It's perfect. We're gonna go.
We should just be like China and have one time zone. Mm. Everybody's just SOL. It's 4 o'clock at sunset. Bummer for you guys.
I mean, it's that way in Tennessee right now anyway. After Sunday. Yeah.
Depends upon where you are. That's the deal.
Where my family is. I remember going down there for
Knoxville's on Eastern, and I believe Nashville's on Central.
We would always go down there for Thanksgiving, and it would be like 4:30, and it was like the sky's purple dusky. And it was like, what time is it?
If you bitch too much about daylight saving time, but then you're mad that it's dark in the morning and it's dark at night, it's because you live too far north. You just need to move to Miami because that's the way it works. Yeah. The further north you go, the less sunlight you get.
Jeremiah, why is gas $3.45 a gallon today?
I don't know. It sucked. I was driving home from Indianapolis yesterday, and I was going to get gas in Greenfield. My little gas app said it was $3.16 or something. I'm like, that's fine. I'm going to have a pee break here, and I'm going to get gas for $3.45. And I'm like, the hell I'm not. I'm not paying that. I get back to Newcastle, and every station in Newcastle is $3.45.
There's one station that's dropped back into the 3.30s.
The Conoco here in town. And this morning I got it. I was heading to southern Indiana. Spiceland hadn't caught up with the times, and I got it for like 3:15 this morning in Spiceland, which was good. But it's apparently, I scavenged the internet all day today, worried about this.
Usually there's
off,
something. Like somebody,
and there's like a story of, hey, this is what's happened, or this is why it went up 30 cents today. I don't know if everybody in the media is too busy worrying about the Colts and Jets tonight or what the deal is, but there's nobody that's like, hey, Indiana, your gas prices went up to $3.45 because Speedway said it was going to go. Like, there was no reason, no explanation. There was a story from like a week ago when it was the highest it's been in 7 years. And they basically said, yeah, demand's almost back to where it normally is, but supply is not there yet.
How much heads up do they need on supply? I mean, I guess it's another supply issue, but most of that stuff moves around by like pipeline, doesn't it? The place to place.
I guess it depends upon where you're at in the country, but
where the refinery,
you know, like I think a lot of our stuff comes out of Whiting, the BP Whiting refinery in northern Indiana, up in Chicagoland. I know that they were changing. Yeah. Bill Lowry, 309 yesterday, 345 today. Exactly.
There's a switch to winter mix
which seasonally happens, but that's not a surprise either. And it's not like they can't use the summer mix still.
You guys have pictured the other day of whenever I filled up my work truck and I bought 36 gallons of diesel fuel, and it would cost me, not me.
I was going to say, this out of your pocket, D squared?
It costs $135.79. And I fill up my tank like twice a week.
I was kicking around the idea. I've been kicking around the idea of switching over to a diesel truck because it'll, you know, it's going to get me 30 some miles per gallon, and I won't have to, you know, have two extra vehicles, one for the camper and one for work. And then
unless it's loaded down, has a bucket on the back, and then you get about 4.5 miles.
Right. Right.
Yours is a rolling house.
When you're towing or actually using it, you're not going to get that. But I've been going like, God dang, it sucks. Cause gas was like $3 a gallon and diesel's $3.99. Well, now all of a sudden the spread's like 10%, right? $3.45 versus $3.90.
But the amount of hauling you do, it might work out.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that your fuel economy is tanked at that 4.5 miles per gallon on your Tahoe.
It's like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
I've got a 20. I'm comfortable going 180 miles with the Tahoe pulling on my 28 gallon
tank. That's so short.
Yeah.
I can get like 230, 240.
I'm comfortable at 180.
My work truck, that 36 gallons that I got will last about 280.
That's hilarious.
Pretty bad. And this is 2017. This is not an old vehicle.
Your truck's...
Do you run with the emergency brake on, buddy? There's a little lever you can pull.
I'll tell you what. It'd be interesting to see how fast Dakota's truck goes electric. those kinds of trucks, that's a perfect truck to go electric.
Yeah,
the weight, you can carry it down with some batteries, and it needs all the for off the line.
The that's utility companies are all, they're working with, I know that the company that I work for is working with a few different vehicle manufacturers on trying to figure out battery technology for utility vehicles.
But yeah, because that's perfect.
Yep.
You don't need that many miles. You just
you get to your next spot and you just plug it in anyway. You got electricity wherever you're at.
He just literally just hook jumper cables to the lines, just mooch some lines. That's the most
alligator clips.
Most dangerous part of his
rapid
job.
Rapid charge it with 400 volts.
It starts smoking. Hey, if it works, it works.
Shoot. So yeah, gas. I'm not much for the Let's Go Brandon crap and they're putting the stickers on the pumps that say, you know, Biden did this or all that, whatever the hell it is.
It's a very complex issue,
but
we're just seeing a lot of the effects from the pandemic right now.
Yeah, but I will say
things to the domino effect to catch up.
The biggest gripe I've had about Biden since he came along was the killing the pipeline.
Yeah, that day certainly one didn't help.
That was, and I think that spiked gas prices that started the ramp up that we've had. And I don't like when somebody kills a project that's already approved. Not quite fair,
especially something to the investors in it for the American people. We're still using oil.
Yeah,
it's not going anywhere real fast. Why wouldn't we want to do everything we can to become more independent? If anything that 2020 taught us, it's that America has a real problem of not being more independent from the rest of the world.
It's because
we're learning that still with the supply chain issues.
There are people that think that the higher gas and oil prices are, the faster that we'll switch over to electric and the faster we'll cure ourselves of our oil addiction. That's the logic. So in their mind, you know, the policy should do whatever we can
those
to get
are also
that, those
the
prices
that
to $8, $10
take their
a gallon.
Jets to the climate summits, right? They don't actually care. It's a
there
facade.
There are policy
care.
Makers
no
who
cares.
Think it needs to be $8 or $10 a gallon.
If you think that any of these people give a damn about the climate or about you or your kids or your future, then you're fooling yourself. Then you're dumb. That's just the truth. They don't care. They care about their money and they care about their family's money. And that's legitimately it. Once you get to those upper levels, there's not, it's like that Stalin quote whenever he said that one death is a tragedy and a million deaths is a statistic. Whenever you are in a leadership position of hundreds of millions of people, then there is no actual personal connection to any kind of constituent. It's impossible to care. Like, think whenever your brain is thinking about the cosmos, when you hear Neil deGrasse Tyson talking about the universe and the ever-expanding universe and the billions of galaxies and infinite numbers, your brain is just like, I'm done. Like, I can't follow any of that. Our brains aren't meant to follow all these big numbers. So whenever Biden or members of the Senate Transportation Committee or Pete Buttigieg, whoever, is hearing this is impacting, you know, how many millions of Americans or hundreds of thousands
of
Americans.
You think Pete Buttigieg is already out of touch?
They don't know. Yes, they're all out of touch.
You think Pete Buttigieg is already out of touch?
This is the major problem. This is why politics needs to be local.
How much milk is?
It's like, I don't think that he's gotten to the point of like Hillary Clinton whenever she walked into that middle-class family's apartment. Remember in 2016?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
That look of shock and horror on her face.
Like, how people these people live
like this. And like, it was actually a decent apartment.
Yeah.
I don't think that Pete's gotten to that point, but maybe he has. I mean, him and his husband have taken how many months off of work now, and neither one of them actually gave birth to a baby. I mean, so maybe he is a little bit out of touch. And who's paying for that paternity leave? Are we still paying that? Or like, is he doing his job over Zoom? I'm sure most of his job could probably be done on Teams meetings anyway.
Do you want
government
really working anyway? It's better when they're just loafing.
I would rather him do a job that we pay him for. Jeez.
All I'm saying is that next time you have the chance to interview one of the limousine liberal jet folks, if you need to ask them how much a gallon of milk is, and if they give you it, if they tell you if $1.50 at Aldi and $4 at the convenience store, then they know life. But if they just look at you glazed over, they have no clue.
Yeah. Like I was thinking of Bluth. What's her name? Whenever she's talking to Michael Bluth. What's the mom's Lindsay? Name? No, the mom.
Oh,
God. I can't.
She's dead now. Thanks for reminding me. Is.
What? No. Oh, God. No. Crap.
Efforting.
Yeah, you gotta. The story's not gonna make sense if you're.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
It's from Arrested Development.
Drum roll, please. Everybody's yelling it in their car. Mm-hmm. It's not Tobias. It's not Job. It's Lucille.
Lucille Bluth. Whenever Lucille is talking to Michael about the banana stand, and she said, Michael, it's one banana. How much could it cost? $10? That was Hillary Clinton walking into the middle class family's apartment.
There's always money in the banana stand. Just remember, if you take this is government for you. If you take a dollar, you have to throw away a banana. Then it all comes out even. Bowman wants to know why I triggered you. He's delirious, folks. He's got a thumb that's going to fall off at any moment. Hold your thumbs up to the camera so they can get one last look at them. His on camera left, his right thumb is very questionable at this point. I'm concerned.
Yeah, right. It's my right thumb that's bad.
Camera left, right thumb.
Camera left, yep.
NFL player former NFL player Henry Ruggs. Have you ever heard of this guy? Do you have any idea about this story before I put it in the notes today? Did it make it through the Dakota Davis?
Yeah, my coworkers were talking about it over some coffee this morning.
All right, what do you think? Set it up for
me.
Tell me what you think.
I didn't see the 156 mile per hour. What I heard
156, 157.
What I heard that Mr. Ruggs was a rookie.
First, second year, sure.
And he was very highly favored. They thought that he was going to go really far in his career. These are all things that I heard.
Yep.
These are
like the 12th draft pick in the NFL. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know any of these things. People were just telling me them. They could have been embellishing. I don't follow football. And Mr. Ruggs, he was.
It's not really a football story. It's a human interest story at this point.
He's living high on life, playing for the Las Vegas Raiders. He's going to be balling. Millionaire
making $4 million a year,
and then he pulls the Caitlyn Jenner and just plows somebody and kills him. What I heard,
Caitlyn Jenner is an accomplished race car driver. I'm not sure I would say I pulled a Caitlyn Jenner, but okay.
Okay, I mean, it wasn't Caitlyn, it was before Caitlyn.
You're gonna get us in trouble. Go on,
I said before Caitlyn,
Bruce.
It was before Caitlyn transitioned,
Bruce.
There we go. Remember whenever Caitlyn Jenner smoked that lady in California and killed her?
I remember that, yeah.
And then all of a sudden she announces she's trans and that, like, no one ever talked about it again. She didn't get any charges or anything for that.
The same that happens to people. Like this guy, I'm
being drunk, doing twice the legal limit in this Corvette in a residential neighborhood.
Yeah, twice the legal limit.
156 miles an hour with his girlfriend in the car.
He got it down to like 120 something before he hit the car.
3:39 in the morning.
Did it say what kind of car it was?
Corvette. He was in a Corvette. He hit a Toyota RAV4 at 3:39 in the morning.
It's unrecognizable, the car, because it caught fire.
It's like a bullet. That's insanely fast. To be just going on a residential street.
Yeah, it was bad. Very bad.
Was he drunk or high?
Drunk.
Twice legal limit.
Twice legal limit. Yeah, the drink.
Oh,
The speed.
I thought the speed.
The speed he was exponentially.
That was also probably a 40 mile.
I thought you were
street.
Saying that the speed was twice the legal limit. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I want to go to a residential neighborhood with a 75 mile an hour speed limit. Yeah.
So yeah, 127 miles an hour when the airbags deployed. 156, 2.5 seconds before impact. The judge is like, there's no way in hell we understand how this happened.
He got drunk at Top Golf and then was leaving.
He had a gun in his car too. But we don't
yeah, that might be. I saw it's
you're in Las Vegas and you're a known millionaire. I'd have a gun with me too. And you're driving.
You know what I would do to be safe? I'd be home at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
It's during the season, right? It's a terrible decision.
Why are you playing
Top
Golf at 3:30 in the morning? Who's doing that? Who's closing down Top Golf?
It's Vegas, right? So here's the rub on Las Vegas and why the NFL just finally brought a team there. They have a nightlife that's unbelievable. Mm. They have more distractions available than any other place in the United States, and more distractions than anywhere in North America. And the NFL has been very gambling averse for a long time. That's obviously lightened up in the last few years, where now they're starting to take the money from the gambling world.
How well the UFC was doing out there.
I bet there are a lot of people that watch, and they're getting like NFL Red Zone, and they're paying for the full NFL packages because they have fantasy teams and they need to be able to follow more than their local team.
So the rub on Vegas is that it's a party city and you can't have an NFL team and these players there because they're going to get in trouble.
22-year-old multimillionaire.
22-year-old. Yeah, exactly. And
in a city that never sleeps. And NFL always teams, trouble to get into.
NFL players do better in a Green Bay or an Indianapolis or a St. Louis or, you know, Chicago. And eh, not Chicago as much, but, you know, Cleveland, Cincinnati.
At least Chicago during the wintertime is cold. So there's like not, yeah. I mean, there's probably less movement, human movement around Chicago necessarily. There's probably some clubs and stuff. But Vegas, most cities like shut down at some point in the night. Like clubs close down, bars close down. Vegas is...
It never ends.
Never ends, yeah. No clocks, no windows.
So the NHL located a team there about a decade ago, and it's gone okay. So then the NFL finally took the money. They built a stadium for the Raiders. This is the first year you've had fans and a real NFL season. Because last year with COVID, the world was still locked down. Yeah. So this is the first full year you've had at a pro team in Vegas, an NFL team, the highest level of sports. And this happened halfway through the first year.
And I saw a picture of the guy. It looks like he's in a wheelchair because he kind of hurt himself. I don't think he critically hurt himself.
He's in a neck brace.
He's a neck brace and he's got, but he looks like he has at that point sobered up and has a full understanding of what he has done.
Oh, it's terrible.
He looks absolutely defeated. And for that purpose, I hope that I don't really advocate for him to spend the rest of his life in jail. That's a guy who probably should spend the rest of his life going around and
advocating. Don't do what I did.
He needs to be. I know that they have a program for the NFL players when they come into the league for like financial planning and stuff like that. That guy needs to be in that group that's telling these guys. And if you're going to draft a guy into Vegas, you need to have.
He was drafted into Oakland.
Well, yeah.
The Raiders organization is a mess right now, right? 2 weeks ago, John Gruden quit over some
10-year-old emails.
Some emails that were not inclusive.
Yeah.
And by the way, this year it turns out he's got the first openly gay player in the NFL in Carl Nassib. And now you've got this disaster. But they keep winning, so that's good for the Raiders.
Yeah.
Yeah. Might be a playoff team.
I saw the Hunter. And that's one thing that people are going to have to think about now with cars is they're like planes. They have data recorders. And so we have.
It's true. You can't hide from what happened.
When was the last time that we really had a wreck and you knew you had mile an hour statistics? Top speed here. 2 seconds later, got down to here. Boom. Airbags go off. Like,
I guess all of the cars are doing that or recording that, but maybe it's not always released.
I bet that they're getting a lot better at in the last couple of years. Yeah. It's not getting, you're not getting released.
Like a black box.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
the ECU they're recording or whatever is recording all that information.
Yeah,
I'm sure that car had OnStar and everything else being brand new.
Yeah,
I'm sure it had complimentary OnStar, so every bit of that was immediately available.
Yeah, they probably could tell you where it came from. Yeah, ooh, not good. I hope that they find some. I hope that guy could learn. I mean, that's a rough lesson to learn at 22. That's a big mistake.
He needs to do sometime. I mean,
yeah, he needs to do something.
He needs to see the inside of a prison cell, I think.
That's for sure.
Yeah, he's going to be, it's going to be a while.
I mean, that's manslaughter.
So the team cut him immediately. He's
more than what Caitlin got.
The team didn't even wait for like the investigation or anything. They said, nope, he's done. Because there was enough information out clearly. I mean, he's got to go through a trial. But the mile an hour was that. Like the first article I saw had all the speed and everything. And the fact that there was a fatality. And so, yeah, not, they didn't waste any time. They're running out of points to score to cash in for good faith with the community. I bet
that's rough yeah. One okay, by request, by Patreon request, we do things for our patrons. By the way, it is my 3-year Facebook anniversary, right, with Andrew Bowman.
Before we get into this, I just want to say that I don't think we should participate in this request because Andrew Bowman had the opportunity to drive to this studio every week and do a racing themed podcast.
I don't think he's turned it down yet.
He did turn it down. He said, I'm not driving to Newcastle every week. It's too far for me.
Don't kill Galt's dream yet. He teased it last week. Don't kill the dream. You're pronouncing it dead before it's dead.
I'm pronouncing Andrew's involvement dead. Maybe. Not Galt, not the podcast itself.
Maybe.
I'm just saying that if Andrew was really cared about...
I mean, he might show up as much as you do, like once every few weeks.
He could. That would be good. Maybe if he could come on like once a month.
Every so often. Be a contributor.
They got some time to figure it out. The season's ending.
Yeah. Mm. They'll be all right.
So he can talk about this on his own podcast.
Potentially. But he's a patron. He's a donor. And it's exciting. Like, it's timely. Put
five names in here, and I have no idea who any of them are.
You've had the show notes for 2 hours. I want you to do a little Googling. I'll help explain. We'll talk. So this is the final weekend.
I'm not going to Google any of these people.
This is the final weekend. You write it down. Take note.
Oh, the amount I care about NASCAR is negative.
You'll get some big news stories on at least two of them.
There are four people going for the championship in NASCAR this weekend. They're in Phoenix, Arizona. And basically, whoever finishes the highest amongst the four drivers that are listed, Chase Elliott, Kyle Larson, Martin Truex Jr., and Denny Hamlin, any one of those three,
know who Chase Elliott is.
Any one of those four win the race or finish ahead, they're going to be the champion. Chase Elliott's last year's NASCAR champion. His dad, Bill, is an awesome Bill from Dawsonville. One or two-time NASCAR champion himself. A couple Daytona 500s.
Perennial fan favorite.
He's the most popular driver.
Here's how little I know about running. I did not realize that NASCAR was a series and that there was a person that was the champion at the end of a season.
NASCAR
is... I just thought do a race and you won the race. Good job.
NASCAR is a governing body, just like USAC.
Yeah, the National Association of Stock Car Auto Racing.
That's NASCAR. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they have three top divisions. So they have the Cup Series, they have the Xfinity, which people my age would call it the Busch Series, and they have the Truck Series. Those are the top three national touring series. So the absolute high-end pro baseball, Daytona 500, Major League Baseball quality is NASCAR Cup. Used to be Sprint Cup, Winston Cup, Nextel Cup, but now it's just Sprint Cup. And they've got like 3 or 4 presenting sponsors. So Chase Elliott won the championship last year. Kyle Larson runs for the same team, Rick Hendrick's Hendrick Motorsports, which is, you remember the name Jimmy Johnson, you remember the name Jeff Gordon, remember Darrell Waltrip or Ricky Rudd or Kenny Schrader. But those are all old Hendrick Motorsports guys. Elliott and Larson both are there. And then Joe Gibbs of the NFL and of NASCAR, Joe Gibbs Racing, has Martin Truex and Denny Hamlin. So Larson's never won a championship, but he's won like 10 races this year. He's been unbelievable.
And Larson's is a story of kind of coming back. So he was in when they were doing the online racing.
COVID. They couldn't race online.
They were doing like or in person. iRacing. He was on a private radio broadcast with his spotter or whatever.
Yeah, I remember
that. Used
the
N-word. And like his had to put up two houses for sale, got fired.
He lost his ride with Chip Ganassi and McDonald's.
Took a year off. Obliterated
the USAC world,
the USAC world, just went on a tear.
If you think I'm making a mistake saying USAC, I'm not an idiot. I'm just making fun of Dakota. This is big. Go back to the first Kyle Robbins episode when we all laughed.
So then the greatest thing, it turns into a positive for him because he gets picked up by Hendrick and has been on an absolute.
He went from a mid-pack car to the
top tier,
top end,
in the show,
New York Yankees, Green Bay Packers, Pittsburgh Steelers, like the creme de la creme.
He's gone 3 in a row twice this year, which is the first time that's happened. I think since 1980.
Since Dale Earnhardt.
Yeah. In like 30 years. So
Ryan Truex won the won an underdog championship for Furniture Row Racing out of Colorado. And then when that team went away, they basically got picked up by that 19 team got rolled in at Joe Gibbs Racing. And then Denny Hamlin, he's been like the bridesmaid for the last 15 years. He's always been right up there, but he's never won his championship. And his emotions are starting to wane a little thin. He's
so
a FedEx
guy. So
you guys
are going to pick a champ?
Yeah, I'm laying it out here for you. And you're going to pick one too. You're going to circle a name just because you can. So it's right, Elliott, last year's champion.
Chase Elliott.
Kyle Larson.
That's the only name I recognize.
Truex Hamlin. All right, so he's going to take Elliott. I'm going to take... So that's Dakota. He's going to go Chase. You got a you got somebody you want to have there, Mr. Burchard?
Man, if I'm going to get first round, I'm taking Larson.
You want Larson? That's a good choice.
My second pick would be Truex.
I'm taking Truex.
Okay. I think Hamlin's too hot-headed. I don't know if he's emotionally ready.
Are we putting money down on this?
Sure. $5 a hit. You want $5, Zach?
I'll put $5 in.
$5 in?
Okay.
All right. And we'll give Bowman Hamlin.
All right.
If it doesn't work out, we're going to send $5 to Bowman, and if not, he owes one of us $5.
I like that.
That works. All right. We got a bet. We got ourselves a bet. So here we go. Rick Hendrick was asked, because there was an incident at Martinsville, short track race, last weekend, high drama, Denny Hamlin versus Alex Bowman. Alex Bowman is one of the other Hendrick drivers. There's four of them. Hamlin was leading. He needs to finish up front. It's Martinsville. People want to win this grandfather clock you get for being a FU comes from Bowman. He does not like having his pick. That's what you get, man. You're part of the show. Everybody else took somebody. You get Hamlin. You got Denny.
It's after 8 o'clock. So just because your driver was a little bitch last week on after the race.
I can't stand Denny. This isn't fair. All right. So last week at Bowman. Not Bowman. Yeah, it was Bowman. And, Alex Bowman.
Yeah.
I got two Bowmans in my head now. Alex Bowman in the 88 Hendrick Chevy. Is it the 88 still? He's in the 48 now.
He's in
the old Jimmy Johnson car. He gets underneath of it for like five laps. He's trying. It's like a paperclip. Tiny little racetrack. Bull ring.
Two drag strips with
a lot of bumping and grinding and stuff going on. So Hamlin's leading. Bowman is inside of him and finally runs out of patience. Acts like, oh my gosh, I didn't mean to hit you. And he spins him out with like five laps to go. So Hamlin gets wrecked, gets out of the car. Actually, it went after Bowman's collecting that, like he goes to try to get this checkered flag. He won the race, stops up front, stops on the checkered flag, whatever. Hamlin pulls up, hits his car with his car. Like he does the whole thing.
You ain't bumping, you ain't racing.
I like the term that that Joey used in his podcast to talk about it. He said he canceled his burnout. Like he showed up and this like guy turns around to do a burnout and there's Denny. And Denny's like, no, you're not. You're not celebrating. And then he went off in this post-race interview.
He called him a hack. He says that Alex Bowman's nothing but a hack. His teammates won like 10 races this year. Everybody's winning but him. And he's running 9th or 10th and he's a hack. So his car owner, legendary car owner, Rick Hendrick, bajillionaire himself. Rick says, Alex has won 4 races this year and Denny's only won 2. So I want more hacks like yeah. Alex.
If that's a hack, I want more of those.
Which is if you're gonna throw in some shade.
If you're gonna insult a guy.
Found the video here for Dakota. Obviously on the podcast you'll have to search for it yourself. But 48 on the 11. And he just went in there a little deep and turned him. It's typical for the track. This is not a surprise. And Denny was mad as hell.
It affected Denny's race, but it didn't affect Denny was already into the.
Denny made the final four. He's going to be fine. And the most hilarious part of it, everybody only sees what they see from their seat, right? But Denny's done the same thing in the last like 3 years. He's done the same thing.
Oh, yeah, they're
like twice himself.
Instantly, and NASCAR fans are diehard enough that there's instantly like, oh, he says that's not good. How about this? And they have got like 4 clips of every driver doing the same thing because. That's turned into like demo derby at times. There's not a lot of cool heads prevail.
It is not a surprise. Not a surprise at all. Trying to find the little replay from after the race here for Dakota, but I may not.
I haven't seen that yet.
I may not be able to cue it
up. I heard Mr. Molinaro and Mr. Daly's description of it, and it sounded rather entertaining.
But we'll see.
NASCAR is okay with bumping during the race, but after the race, they generally want you to park your car.
When people start taking seatbelts off, it turns into they get real mad about you taking any extracurricular activity. So here we go. I got the video queued up here in the studio, and you can see that Bowman was basically pulling down on the front stretch. He's stopping at the start finish line to grab himself. Zach, you can come around here if you can't see it. But he's basically just stopping on the start finish line to do an interview and to grab the checkered flag. Seatbelts are probably off, and Hamlin parks in front of him. Bowman like turns, gets the hell out of there, says fine, whatever. And then Hamlin then drives straight to the nose of his car.
This is amazing, though.
and then starts shoving him down the front stretch.
I mean, They started doing a reverse tug of war.
Yes.
With cup cars.
Yes.
And then somebody, and the whole time, I guess, on the radio.
In the radio, Hamlin's people are telling him, hey, remember the bigger
picture. Big picture, man. Big picture. As in, you don't want to be suspended for the last race of the year.
You can win your championship next weekend if you don't do something really stupid right now.
And Bowman's not even in the running.
No. He missed out, but he basically missed out. They went from like 16 to 12 to 4 or whatever to 8 to 4, and he got dropped out at some point, so he didn't make it through. It's full drama, though. They've done a great job. IndyCar doesn't need all that. They still had their championship come down to the final race without all these fanciness, but got us talking about it.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't seen it. That's entertaining. That's super. I bet the fans were loving that.
I think NASCAR probably loved it, too. Oh, they just can't say it out loud.
They probably say, hey, we're going to charge you $50,000. You're already going to donate it to. What charity do you want us to give that $50,000 to? Because we have to do something. But they're promoting it
all week.
But we're going to have it in every reel. Like, we're going to use that for the next 20 years.
Like, what is Clarkson's farm?
This is for Zach.
Oh.
He's been proselytizing Clarkson's farm to me for weeks.
So,
and I finally watched the first episode last night.
Okay, so there used to be a show on BBC America called Top Gear. There were three hosts.
And it was
Jeremy Clarkson, James May, and Richard Hammond. And then they eventually got fired because Clarkson punched somebody off the set over like a cold sandwich.
He went full
or something.
Danny Hamlin.
Yeah. And so they got picked up by Amazon, and they started a show called The Grand Tour, which quickly kind of fizzled into like a once or twice a year they do a big special. But I think they've got these guys under contract, so they start giving them other gigs to do. And Clarkson owns 1,000 acres in England, and the guy who runs his farm retired. And he's like, I'll run my farm. And so it's documenting his attempts to become a farmer.
He has no experience.
Like no experience, and like even less experience than Mark Brehm. Because he lived in London and is a loaded millionaire for the last couple of years and has been driving around burning fuel all over the world in exotic cars for as long as I can remember. And so it just documents his, but it's very interesting, and it's not purely entertainment, like as in it's not a reality show that's so horribly scripted that you're like,
you can tell that he's putting the work in.
He's putting the work in, and it is. I have not had a chance to have fellow fake farmer Cade check it out and judge Clarkson's fake farmerness, but it's pretty educational as to farming because he's bumping into regulations. They're talking about soil quality and how they're doing things. He's having to buy the equipment. And so like the first thing he tries to do is he tries to store, I think it's
fertilizer
in the same barn as his hay. And they're like, you can't do that. And they're like, why? And the guy said, well, it's a regulation, but honestly, it's a really good regulation. You shouldn't be doing that. But it goes into, he kind of turns into a steward of the, he's got this huge property and there's some woods on it. And so he builds a lake. It shows him thinning out the woods. He said, this is actually good. This is what we're supposed to do. And I get all this wood out of it, but look at the woods. You can't tell the difference. And it's really interesting because you learn a lot. You learn enough to be a farmer, no, but you pick up a lot. Like I didn't know what a tram line was. You learn about tram lines and why you can't just drive the tractor the way you want to drive the tractor when you plow fields, because then you can't figure out what you're doing later. They found
it's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime.
He bought the most ridiculous tractor.
That's the only fully Jeremy Clarkson thing he does in it, is that you really could watch the show and have zero idea who he is. And why he is able to buy 1,000 acres of UK farmland in 2008, except that they say go buy a tractor. He buys a Lamborghini tractor because that's where Lamborghini came from.
Right, an actual Lamborghini.
They still make tractors.
They still make tractors. Lamborghini, not only is it a tractor, it's a monster of a tractor. And every time anybody looks at it the first time, they're like, your tractor's way too big. And then he can't get into places. It's tearing stuff up because it's too big.
They're in the UK and nobody knows how to work on it.
Nobody knows how to work. But he bought it out of Germany, I think. So all of the dash displays are in German.
German and Italian.
Yeah, it's a Lamborghini.
That's really funny.
Because, I mean, the quick 15-minute side story is Lamborghini was created because Lamborghini bought a Ferrari.
Didn't like
something about it. Said, hey, you should improve that. I think it was a clutch or something. And he's like, you build tractors, I'll build sports cars. You stay in your lane, essentially. And so Lamborghini cars were born. But yeah, so it's in forget this. I've listened to way too many podcasts, but someone's talking about they got a guy.
You can never listen to enough podcasts, yeah, sir. How dare you?
No, and I've had so much IndyCar content, but somehow that Clarkson's Farm came up. I'm trying to think of where it came up on. But they talked about, oh, it was on, he hires a farmhand to help him, Caleb. Caleb is the most brilliant casting ever. And somebody talked about that there's a skill involved with finding normal people who are brilliant on camera. And Caleb is fantastic. So yeah, it's a fun show. It's not all. He starts his own store, the Diddly Squat Farm Store.
Have you watched the entire series?
Yeah, I've
You're done.
Yes. Yeah.
How many episodes are there? I got 80% of the first
eight
episode.
Or ten.
So it's like 10 hours of homework to watch this.
They're filming season two already. It's pretty light. I mean, it shows some of the rough parts of farming.
It actually sounds interesting.
Because it goes into like, they go into it before COVID and then COVID hits.
Oh, it's before COVID.
COVID starts during the show. So like during filming, it hits on the COVID thing. And so then it goes into, we were supposed to get all this stuff done and then it rained for 6 weeks and they had like the rainiest season that they'd ever had.
It starts in September of 2019.
Yeah. And it rolls in through year. So it does get interesting because he, if you know Jeremy Clarkson, he's like, I've smoked like a quarter of a million cigarettes in my life. I'm overweight. I'm this. He's like, if I get it, I'm dead. he tells his farmer, and he's got a guy that comes in and gives him all the financials. Like, this is what you need to do. And this is how you're going to do it. And so that's interesting entertainment. If people have time to, I'm going to finally have some time after I'm done camping to sit down and watch some shows. But I knocked that one out when I was laid up with my sprained ankle. I watched almost the entire season in one day.
Wow. You got time to rewatch it now.
Yeah.
All right. With that, we probably need to move ourselves into final thoughts. Zach, what do you got for me, man? The Colts Jets game just started. You got a big prediction on the
I haven't watched a minute of football this year. I've been camping every year, every weekend since the football season started.
I know, me too. I know.
So I'm gonna enjoy the weather. Got to L&K, they still got beef for sale. And they had some sales today, I think. They had some beef boxes, but I think they sold them all. But other than that, you gotta enjoy the weather. It's fall. It's gonna be cold soon, so.
Last weekend fall just felt like crap. All the leaves were falling down.
It was raining.
But
I'll tell you what, though.
And then it rained some more, and then it would stop, and it would rain some more.
Peak color is like now, and normally peak color is over by now.
Yeah.
And last weekend's usually the kind of weekend that ruins it, because I don't know if I talked about it here. Usually what happens here is the leaves get pretty colors, they start to kind of die, and then we get a weekend like we had last weekend
where
it just rains, and then literally it's like Friday, everything's gorgeous, Monday, it's death. Everything's dead, everything's gray, everything's wet, and I thought that might happen, but we're still getting some colors, so that's nice.
My drive home from Spring Mill on Sunday was as pretty of a drive in Indiana as I've had in a long time. Went up through Bedford on 37, came across 50, absolutely gorgeous. Between Bedford and Brownstown on 50 was spectacular.
Yeah, we drove by a pumpkin patch on the way home. I didn't know which way you went. I turned the wrong way out of the park to go that way. But I was like, whatever. I still two-laned it. I did like 20 miles of interstate. The rest was highway.
Yeah. It was a good time. Yep. No interstates for us last weekend. All right, well, on the way home. D-Squared, what do you got, man?
I want to give a shout-out to Zach Lohorn. I had some more tattoo work done.
You're running out of space?
I am. And he thinks I got one more session, one more full day left, and then we might have to come back and do some touch ups. So maybe
take that jacket off. I want to see it. Pull that jacket off.
One and a half. But if you can get your
screwed up thumb to work enough to get that off. let Zach know if you need to pull on something. Man, you got a lot of shading going on now. It's looking good. You got a snake. Is that the devil? Is that are you a Satan worshiper there with your serpent? You got a. All right. So the arrow is piercing the snake. The snake's pissed off. It's going through. It's going through a skull. The healing's looking good though. It's not that bad at all. It's looking pretty decent now.
Yeah, I decided to do this thing that I saw on an internet thread. My healing didn't do too hot.
You want to take a picture of that and drop it into the Patreon? This? Yeah, the new side, the new stuff.
It's really hard to get a picture of. I sent it to you guys in a group chat, but
I know. I'm just saying in the Patreon for those folks. I mean, it's premium content.
But the healing didn't do too well on this side and stuff. The best healing I've ever had is on my thigh, and this one healed up well. But he used something called Second Skin, which is a Sanoderm product.
Mm-hmm.
Air can get in, but moisture and stuff can't get out, so it locks in all that good plasma and the juices that your body produces to help heal. And you keep that on for a while, but obviously, a section like this, you can't do that. And I used like a couple of different ointments on this, and I did that on other tattoos, and I always had little spots not heal well. I read on Reddit something called dry healing, and it's basically you follow all the other proper healing techniques, which is washing it with antibacterial soap so that you can stave off any infection a few times a day, making sure that you either keep it out of the sun or you wear really loose clothing so that you don't rub it wrong or, you know, get some dirt or dust in it, because it is an open wound and you need to take care of it as such. And usually they'll tell you to put like a thin layer of lotion on it, but that's super hard to judge. How much is a thin layer of lotion, right? And so there's this thought in certain communities that, hey, your body knows how to heal wounds. It does it all the time. So just keep it clean so that you can stave off infections and then let your body do its thing.
I mean, it's not doing a real good job with that thumb of yours.
Yeah.
It sacrificed the thumb.
I've been doing that on this, and you can definitely see, like,
yeah,
this
part's... That part's healing much better than the other side.
This part's pretty much healed and versus this one, and there's definitely some better contrasts in healing. So I don't know, maybe the ointment that I'm... Or the lotion I was using was... Maybe I was screwing up and putting it on too thick. Maybe it's got alcohol or parabens.
So will Zach go back in and...
Yeah.
And update that a touch?
Yep. We're going to be filling in all the empty spaces on January 10th.
Joe Tompkins says there should be Jeremiah Explains Tattoos podcast.
Yeah. There's going to be... we're filling in all the empty spaces January 10th, and then I'll probably come back for another half day, so 4 hours, and he'll be putting in some higher contrast and things and then doing some white. We actually got to a point where he was putting white ink in this one. You can see it, like these areas where the contrast seems higher. It's because he went in and put white in some places where it would just be skin tone. Yeah, I'm really happy with that. And I'm also happy with the dry healing. Maybe whenever I go and see Zach, he's going to tell me I was an idiot for trying that. But I mean, I don't know. I haven't asked him about it. I just kind of...
It looks like it did great.
It's doing really well.
It looks like it's good.
Shocked.
And this is last week, right? You got it on Friday?
Yeah,
Friday last week. So you're 6 days in. It looks fantastic.
I do have some heavy scabbing. The only thing about the dry healing is that it itches way more. So like it itches like crazy. Usually you put the lotion on.
Have you been itching it with your right thumb?
No. Usually you put the lotion on and it makes that itching die down because it's not so dried out and everything. But I used to get poison ivy really, really bad as a kid. So I'm pretty good at just ignoring itches. So maybe if you don't, maybe if you're not good at that, then don't try the dry healing.
Well, that's good to know.
That's my final thoughts. There's another person out there that's heavily tattooed that's like, I never heard about dry healing. Thanks for telling me that, Dakota. And to that listener, you're very welcome.
Cade.
And yeah, Cade and Andrew Bowman.
Cade is Cade's out there in the tractor, just trapped, doing his best Jeremy Clarkson. As Cade finally listens to this, I pull up that Amazon Prime and just watch some of Clarkson's farm. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do with myself. We've camped for so many weekends in a row now. I don't know what the following weekend's going to look like. I'm having an existential crisis trying to decide. I guess I'm going to have to sit at home and do nothing. I haven't had an unprogrammed weekend in like 6 months, so I don't know what the hell to do with myself. It's going to be fun.
Well, yeah, the last time
hilarity will ensue, I'm sure.
Yeah, September 24th was the last time I was home on a weekend, and then I was gone the weekend before that camping, and so I've been home 2 weekends since the beginning of September, since Labor Day.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. I'm the same. I've been
winterize. That's all I'm going to do. Prep it to go. Mine goes into storage clean, so I'm going to give mine a good scrub.
The last time I didn't camp was September 10th. It was the last weekend I didn't camp. All right. With that, we will we'll see you guys next week. And as we're watching, I'm wearing my Colts shirt. Go Colts. It's tied 0-0, 9 minutes to go in the first quarter.